Hello again and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with As It Is, the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. Today, we have more information for you about the deadly Ebola virus. Then, you will hear reaction to the recent killing of a teenager in Ferguson, Missouri, here in the United States. His death has caused high tension between some residents and law enforcement officials. So, listen to the program, and if you're using a computer, download it and save it for later practice, along with the printed words we say. Let's get started with Part 1. The head of the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies is hopeful that the spread of the deadly Ebola virus can be defeated. But he says quick action is essential to make that happen. Katie Weaver joins us with important details.
More than 1,500 Red Cross volunteers are working in communities in Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia, countries where people have been infected with the virus. Elhajasi is the new Secretary General of the International Red Cross Federation. He recently visited Red Cross volunteers in Guinea and Sierra Leone. He says he wanted to show these brave women and men that they were not alone in their fight against Ebola.
I don't know how I would look like if 6 months after Ebola, then I come to say thank you. And while during that time when they were on the field, you know, risking their lives and doing the best they could, and I sit in Geneva all the time.
Mr. C says national Red Cross societies throughout the world are helping to stop the spread of Ebola. He says almost 130 Red Cross employees are working in places affected by Ebola. And he says volunteers are coming from 17 different countries around the world, including neighboring Ivory Coast and Rwanda. Volunteers have also come from Uganda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Ebola has affected people in those countries in the past, so workers there know a lot about the virus.
And I think that showed a very strong sense of solidarity, that all resources are required. Expertise is a resource. Experience of having worked in an Ebola setting is a resource. Bringing your own knowledge of the environment and the cultural setting is a resource. And, of course, we badly need the financial resources and the infrastructure and the equipments, that will allow us, to cope and then continue to support the response.
More than 1,000 people have already died in the most recent spread of the disease in West Africa. Mr. C says it will take many months before the spread is stopped. He says many more people will die. Secretary General C says it is important to continue the fight against the disease, especially when the number of cases starts to drop. He says, in the past, efforts against the disease have slowed as the number of infections slowed. He says it would be a disaster if that happened again. He says the fight against Ebola must continue until the spread of the disease is completely stopped. I'm Katie Weaver.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Washington. Many Americans are angry about the police use of military practices and equipment, like rubber bullets and tear gas, against protesters in Ferguson, Missouri, and New York City. Protests happened after the recent deaths of unarmed civilians when they clashed with police officers. Christopher Cruz reports.
VOA has spoken with both critics and supporters of police about the tensions between mostly white police and mostly black communities. We asked them what could be done to improve relations between police and the people in the communities. Alhaj Abdur Rashid is a community activist and Islamic religious leader, an imam. He is the president of the Islamic Leadership Council of Metropolitan New York. He says the lack of trust between police and black and poor people in America is not new. He says it has existed since the time of the Civil War, the mid-1800s.
Anyone who studies American history, there has always been a consistent national problem between law enforcement and its abusive tactics vis-a-vis people of color generally and poor people in particular. And law enforcement still hasn't gotten it right.
In the past 20 years, many police have followed what is called the broken windows theory of community policing. This theory says police should fight even the smallest of crimes because they will lead to larger crimes if they are not stopped. But critics of the theory say it has led police to be too quick to arrest people rather than simply warning them. They say people are detained for such minor crimes as throwing trash on the ground, playing music too loudly, or drinking alcohol in public. Robert Ganji is the director of the Police Reform Organizing Project in New York. He says New York City police officers have a quota, a minimum number of people they must arrest.
But what the cops do, because of the quota system, is they arrest people because they don't get credit for issuing a warning and having that take care of the problem. They don't get credit if they break up a fight between two boys and send them home. They'll only get credit if they arrest the two boys for assault.
Mr. Ganji says that pressure to make arrests and fear causes some police officers to look at people in high crime and minority neighborhoods as possible criminals. He says police should look at residents as people they are trained to serve. He says when police consider residents to be criminals first and citizens second, the community becomes angry and quickly criticizes the police. Mookie Huberfeld teaches law and police science at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York. She says people should not become angry when police use force while accepting the good things that police bring. She uses the words of British writer George Orwell.
People sleep peacefully in their bed at night because there are some rough men out there ready to do violence on their behalf. It's important for me to stress that I don't think that police officers are the judge and the jury. They're not there to punish people who violate the law. But we do need to take it within the context that police officers interact with people who are violent, who have violent past.
Ms. Huberfeld admits that police officers can make deadly mistakes. But she says that is because there are no national rules for when and how police should use force. Experts say there are other reasons many minority communities are angry with the police. These include poverty and a lack of education and economic opportunity. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Thank you for listening to As It Is. Learning English is a part of the Voice of America.